You ever have that, like, you ever heard of, like, people, like, talking about, like, that urge to, like, oh, it's so cute, I want to squeeze it to death.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you've ever heard of that? Well, it's like, there's an article about it in, like an actual medical journal or something.
It's kind of like the call of the void, where it's like if you're standing at a ledge, there's that part of you that wants to step off.
Well, it's like there's an article about it, and it says there's me? Nothing.
We're
to
starting
satis-
very dark today, guys.
It says there's nothing to satisfy how you feel about the thing being so cute. So the natural human urge is to kill it so it will stop being cute.
That sounds fake. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I did find it on like Instagram. So
BuzzFeed.bullshit.com.
Well,
The Hill
is BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, that's still around.
That's still around.
Wow.
I would say speaking like Babylon Bee, but all that stuff ends up. Ends up
that's
being true.
Well, yeah, it's trying to be fake and ends up,
speaking
being true.
Of things that are so cute you want to die, Mac, you're a dad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dude.
My wife.
One of your sperms sprouted.
one of my sperms became a human. It's interesting.
That's wild.
How is it?
Guys,
our special guest today is Mac.
Yeah,
because I didn't think he was going to be on the podcast.
Oh,
he had a baby
last episode.
three days ago.
I didn't have a baby. That'd be interesting. My wife had a baby.
Okay. That's bringing up a whole other topic because he texted me, and there were multiple times they were like, "Yeah, we're pregnant. Yeah, we're having a baby." I said, "Man, your wife's having a baby, dude. You're not. You're doing nothing."
No. You can't say I'm having a baby, but I can say we are. I'm
See,
in
now he's
addition
getting
to
on me. When I told him this already.
Speaking of which, I also texted Mac congratulating him.
Did you
sent me a picture. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and then when you sent me that picture, I wanted to type back, baby looking a little Shane Gillis. And I was like, on the off chance that something happened, that could not be the way I find out.
So
it's like,
okay,
actually,
so,
yeah, my baby is
so
retarded.
My wife, and this isn't like information we don't care about saying, like, it just happens. She ended up having a C-section, and the reason is because they induced her 3 weeks early, and I think I already told you guys this, but for the podcast I'm gonna say it
for the listeners,
they the three listeners. Anyway, so she was doing her thing. She was pushing for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. My heart goes out to this woman. I couldn't do that after about like 10 minutes on a toilet.
Yeah, dude, we went to a boxing class with this guy, and that was only an hour long, and he was dying.
Oh, I was dead.
Pushing for two.
It was nuts.
That's just hard.
I'll sit on a toilet for ten minutes
dying.
And just be like,
fuck it. You're going back up.
I'm just getting on Instagram.
You just suck it back
I'll
in.
Pretend like I'm pooping.
Sometimes I just take a vacuum out and just let it do the rest of the work.
I call my doctor and see if they can induce this shit.
I don't know who. I think it might have been you,
Tyler. I don't
know
why the way you said that. Let me see if you can sounded like endorse. Excuse me, would you endorse this shit?
Also, I think I texted you, Tyler. I said, yo, my wife shitted out a baby.
Yeah, it did.
No, but like, so anyways, 3 weeks early, they induced her for certain reasons. And she was pushing for 2.5 hours. Well, the doctor's like, you've been pushing for 2.5 hours and your baby has moved maybe an inch. And we're like,
that's how I feel.
Never mind. That's how you feel.
Man, you've been going 2.5 hours and all you feel is an inch?
Bruh. Anyways, and so like she ended up doing the C-section. And that is stressful. But they have her basically like on this operating table. She's fully cognizant. I'm on the upper half of her body. I see her face. We're talking. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? You feel anything? I feel a lot of tugging, but I don't really feel any pain.
Like, so, like, they give C-sections like when they're not passed out.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's just a local anesthetic.
Yep.
Local,
because
dude.
Anything.
Yeah. Your body is like being filleted open.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
I know. That is wild.
That
I
you
would
can
hate
just
that.
Be like,
well,
I'm cool
I
with
think
this.
Any of the anesthetic that actually knocks a person out, I think that actually goes into the child. So I think
that's
probably
yeah,
a big thing.
I think you're right.
I may be wrong. I'm not a doctor.
No, I mean, it makes sense. Anything you inject into the.
Oh, it's yeah, it happens. But anyways, they induced her, and like
taking heroin
immediately, once they pull this baby out, I start hearing the wah wah wah, the I'm a baby, Obama.
Dude, if your baby came fresh out the womb, and the first thing I said was Obama.
I'm the best.
Holy shit.
No, and they pull down this curtain. I see this kid. So I told you, 2.5 hours she was pushing. Mm-hmm. The baby could not, like, go past her hip bone kind of thing.
This is going to go one of
this
two
baby's
ways.
Head was so damn bruised.
I was going to say, it's going to go one of two ways. I'm like, going to go like, I started crying. It was so beautiful. Or, oh my God, what just came out of her?
No. This kid, no, it was very beautiful. I will say that. It was extremely beautiful. I cried. I will not say I didn't. But this kid looked like he went five rounds with Mike Tyson. And he had a cone head. But it's gone.
I'm Mac. I ain't no bell.
I'm a baby, yo.
I ain't no bell.
I'm the best. Anyways, yeah.
Daddy. Look at this.
I hit your kid right in your face.
What was that?
Have you ever seen Mike Tyson?
Oh, no. We were doing Rocky.
No, but I said he went five rounds with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I know.
So why did it turn into baby Mike Tyson?
No, Mike Tyson sounds like baby Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson sounds like baby Mike Tyson.
Dude, I'm so happy for you.
Isn't it funny that like one of the craziest killers on earth, like, you know, one of the best fighters ever has like the dumbest fucking voice?
It's called a lisp.
Okay. That's so mean of you. You should get real serious about it next time.
Well, Mike, how do you feel about your next fight? I'm gonna fuck him up. Like, Jesus, how did that ever happen?
I'm punch him in the face.
Yeah. These are terrible Mike.
I'm gonna knock his socks off.
It's like gay Mike.
Like I said, regular Mike Tyson.
Wow.
Damn.
Fight me, Mike.
Tyson's taking a beating on this podcast.
Listen, I'm willing to like do some real like, I'm going to risk it all to make this podcast grow. Mike Tyson, I challenge
you.
I challenge you to a one-on-one fight. But
are you ready to see
we only
Mac
hit
die?
Each other. But we only hit each other once. You can hit me once, I'll hit you once.
Are you ready to see Mac die?
It's like the first Spider-Man cage match. Mac just has to survive 3 minutes.
Boom.
You know what, as a father, I probably really shouldn't be doing this kind
of
stuff.
But what a beautiful moment. Let's talk about how My lip got C-sectioned. Speaking of C-sections,
what the
it
fuck?
Needs one. That's I think is it what needs you mean. One. So they'll shave it.
No, that's not what I meant. No, I wasn't talking about my mustache.
Oh.
I showed up full stash. Now I have a little bit of a quick story before we get into the movie.
Your lip got C-sectioned.
Yeah. So I'm inviting so much shit coming my way right now.
Okay.
I know what I'm unleashing upon you guys. For jokes, but
did you get the hurt?
There it is. I didn't even say anything, and there it is. So
got that hurt.
So I had this like pimple. This why am I talking about this on a whatever?
Yeah, this
here
does
we
sound
go.
Fucking gross.
I had this like pimple thing on the inside of my lip, and I was like, is this just like a cold sore thing? Like, you know, sometimes you get stuff like that, or whatever, that happens, you know? And I've had that happen before, so I was like, okay, bump on the inside of my lip, not a big deal. Well, but I would look at it, and I'm like, looks different from, like, other bumps I've had. And it looks like a pimple, like it has a little white head on it. And then it keeps getting bigger. And then I can pop it, gross.
In your mouth?
And then it'll drain. And you go, yummy.
It tastes so good.
But you can pop it, and then it drains. But there's still a little bit of something hard underneath, so it's not completely gone. And then within a few days, it grows back. And so I'm like, okay, this is weird. So
it's a little snack in your mouth.
It's
a little portable.
It's a gusher.
This is so gross. I've been changing poop diapers for like 3 days now, and that is the
that is
worst.
Disgusting. That's
still gross. It's still gross.
The anything. Worst thing
you had to clean
about.
Up venom coming out your baby's ass, dude.
Oh, that's gross.
So I was like, okay, well, we'll see if it goes away after a while. You know, most of these things go away. Well, you know, 10 months later.
What
oh my
fuck?
Gosh.
Dude, I haven't told anyone about this.
Oh, my God. You have gone a long way from your hypochondriac days, bro.
I'm not a hypochondriac, bro. I've never
you
been
used
hypochondriac.
To be.
I'm just cautious, okay?
Tyler, like, anything happened, he'd go get four tests.
That's
the doctors,
not true. The
dude.
Only
hey,
reason
look.
Nate's saying that is because he fell out of a tree and broke his back and never went to the doctor.
Really?
Basically.
Oh, yeah. Dude, when I broke my finger, I let it swell for a week before I went to
dude,
the doctor.
Dude, he doesn't go to doctors.
I hate
he could
doctors,
be dying.
Dude.
So if anyone goes to the doctor more than once every 2 years, you're a hypochondriac. So,
jeez.
I don't know, man.
So,
I haven't been to the doctor in years.
So,
yeah,
exactly. This thing was, like, I started noticing it, like, in, like, July of last year.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I just want you to know that we care about you, Tyler.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's anything else that's bothering you right now that you're not telling anyone.
I'll tell you 10 months from now.
I've been sharing drinks with you, I'm sure. I think I just had a sip of your drink before we started.
No, I know.
You motherfucker.
So I get this thing checked out. Like,
you got the plague in your mouth.
No, if I thought, again, if it was like bad, obviously, you know. But I get it checked. Like, this was months ago. And they were like, oh, yeah, it doesn't look like anything bad. Do this and this. And if it doesn't go away, I was like, okay. Basically, they told me, don't touch it. I'm like, thanks. Okay. It didn't go anywhere. So then I went to the specific, like, ear, nose, and throat doctor. And they basically said it's called a mucus seal.
A just mucus seal.
Yep, I'm going to just, you know, teach you guys some things.
A mucus seal?
Mucus seal. It's like one word.
Doctor?
Mucus seal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what it
he
is.
He appears to
but
have
he
a
looked
mucus
at it. He
seal.
Goes, oh, yeah, I've seen thousands of these. Like, these are very common. They're just due to, like, trauma on the lip. Like, I guess you bite your... I don't bite my lip, but, like,
how hard
something
you been
happened.
Smooching,
I don't know what happened.
Bro.
Yeah, dude.
So, like, if something happens or whatever, it gets irritated, and then if it continues to get inflamed, he said sometimes they'll go away on their own, but if it stays for, like, months, then it won't.
So your mouth's been going through trauma.
Yeah, dude.
some kind of been, mouth trauma.
What you been shoving
been,
in there?
Something has been smashing into your mouth.
What are you saying?
I don't. I'm just stating the facts here. I don't have an opinion. I'm just saying that something has been perhaps penetrating is the right word.
Please stop. Please stop.
You brought this upon yourself.
You remind me of the clip of Biden where they're like, where it goes back to like,
where he
know,
goes,
like 10 years.
How old are you, 12? I'll see you after the speech.
Yeah, that. But no, we're like 10 years ago or something, he had like this recorded thing where he was like, he was like, marriage should be between a man and a woman and it should stay that way and we should respect that. And then it cuts to like, while he's in term and he goes, I'm gay. I'm gay. It's so good.
I forgot I'd seen that clip. That is so fucking good.
Oh, but so good.
Anyways, long story short, they We're, like
the world's going to hell, and
they
I'm
had
just
to
laughing.
Literally. They like put like I guess anesthetic works crazy wonders because yep. I guess they can cut open women and take babies out. But
right.
They put this anesthesia stuff in just in my lip. And then I saw them with a scalpel slicing my lip open.
Oh, weird.
And like removing whatever that weird thing was. Yeah. And then it was just like, he even showed me. He's like, here it is. It's like this glump of like,
it looked like
whitish,
you know,
yellowish,
the,
like,
you know, the Mucinex commercials with the little booger guy that runs around?
Yeah, it was like, him.
Yeah, that's him.
It was him. So it sounds really gross. It wasn't harmful in any way. It never hurt, but it was weird. And
were
I
you worried
my,
it was herpes?
If it was, I'd be like, what?
You know what's crazy?
How? What?
You, HPV, super fucking common. I had no idea. Most likely, all of us have had it. Cool. Everyone in this room.
Nice.
Which is
and
wild.
It just resolves
it's
itself?
90% of men who are sexually active have HPV at some point in their lives.
Nice.
And it just, yeah, it just kind of goes away. In fact, it's actually not a big deal for dudes. Women, kind of a bigger deal, but...
Well, anyways.
It's like yeast infections.
I was just waiting for all the STD jokes. Ha ha ha.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it was totally fine. But
I'm just curious about the trauma,
huh?
I'm curious about your trauma.
Yeah.
I have no idea why it just like sprouted.
You know,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was,
but anyway,
I'm
so
sure
yeah,
it was
I had
immaculate
to get my,
conception.
Dude, my lip was like swollen up so big, it was very silly looking.
Oh yeah,
and
really?
This was Thursday, last Thursday. It hasn't even been a week, and then they stitched up my lip.
Oh.
Wow.
What yep. the fuck?
So, sorry, I just showed the boys.
Does it hurt right now?
No, it's not bad now.
Did they give you like Orgel or something for it? Or?
Nothing, dude. Literally, the doctor stitched it up, and I was like, and he was like, all right, we'll get your paperwork and you can get out of here. I said, wait, sir, can I eat food? Like, what? Like, what do
I
do?
Live?
Yeah, through a straw.
He's like, for the rest of your life. Thank you. It was funny because they were like, here, if you could just sign this for your consent. I'm like, but you didn't tell me what's happening. Like,
yeah,
before
it's
the
better
procedure
if you don't
started,
know.
I was like, what so am I consenting to?
Did it, like hurt to talk and or anything like that? Hurt to eat?
It hurt for, like, the first day or two. And then to eat, like, they said, he's like, oh, yeah, I just recommend, like, soft foods for the first few days. And I was like, is that just
ice cream.
Dependent on ice my queen. Comfort level? Like, as long as I can tolerate it and doesn't
chocolate,
hurt or whatever,
chocolate,
can I
chip.
Eat whatever? He goes, yeah. I was like, okay. But, dude, the stitches broke,
Like, yeah, they're after, in your mouth. I didn't even know they could do that.
Two days. And I'm like, I don't know if that's normal. I hope this thing heals right.
I mean, I guess your mouth, you know, like, heals really fast, right? It's, like, pretty well vasculated.
Sure.
Yeah.
Spit, dude. Your spit has healing properties.
I mean, it kind of does, right? That's why dogs lick wounds.
That's why I always spit on, like, burn victims and stuff, you know?
Yeah. I've done that
before.
Not
just because they're disgusting.
I spit on your baby. Yeah. When I held your baby, I spit on him.
Good,
because
he's got a little bump on his head.
He's got to form that skull.
Yeah.
Rub a little.
I'm just molding him like a clay pot. Just, like, rubbing my hands over him. Just.
Jeez.
That's my interesting story before we, you know. So let's do this. Let's get to the movie.
We got to get into this
because Mac
film.
Has a child, so we can't
child,
be going along.
Yeah, we can't be doing 3-hour podcasts anymore, which is a huge bummer.
Okay. Me and Mac broke our longest episode ever. Did you notice?
No. Which one was it?
The one when we did the...
Guardians?
No, the...
was it Batman?
Bracket. Movie
The Bracket?
Movie
Bracket.
Well,
that was
okay.
Like, we were talking about so many different subjects and so many different genres.
I mean, that movie Bracket.
Well, I guess
Bracket
not genres,
was...
but...
I think
just
I listened
so many
to most of that.
It was Pixar and Disney movie bracket, but we broke. Because before that, it was No Way Home at like 240, and this went 245.
So yeah.
We got to break that 3-hour mark
3 hours
somehow.
Yet, yeah.
We'll break 4 one day.
All right. Four. So, today we're talking about Ant-Man.
And the Wasp.
Quantumania.
Quantumania.
Which I find to be a very funny name for this movie because...
It is.
I forgot the Wasp was even in it.
Yep. So, quick non-spoiler reviews. We're not going to do a synopsis. Everyone knows what this movie is, but we'll do non-spoiler reviews.
Yeah.
Nate has seen it most recently.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen it once, and I didn't take notes on it. So, I'll probably go in off of whatever
I think
brain
I took,
sparks.
I think I took notes like literally 5 minutes worth of notes.
And then you're like, I don't have enough paper.
All right. So, Nate, you start with non-spoiler review.
So I will say that I probably went into this movie with the least amount of expectations because I just watched it, what, like 2 days ago, like a little bit after it came out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I already knew the reaction to it. You guys, I talked at least to you, Tyler, about a little bit about like, you know, what you guys have thought about it. I mean, I think it's sitting at like, it has one of the lowest Rotten Tomatoes for an MCU movie, I think.
Yeah.
Like a 48
crowd.
Or something, 47. I don't know what the crowd was. I don't remember. I'm just saying that, like, generally speaking, Marvel movies, whether they deserve it or not, which the vast majority of them don't, have pretty high Rotten Tomato scores.
Right.
Like, at least, like, 60s and 70s. So for this one to be as low as it is a little surprising. It might actually be the lowest rated one.
Wow.
I think. I don't
I'm
know.
Surprised.
I mean, you might look at something like Eternals might be lower or something like that. So I went into this with really low expectation. I do like Paul Rudd, and like I like the first Ant-Man.
So this is a 47 critic and 83 audience.
Wow, 83 for the audience? Holy shit. That is undeserved.
And Eternals is also 47.
Oh, okay. So they're tied.
But the crowd on Eternals
35.
Is 77.
So are they tied for the lowest?
That I don't know. I mean, I guess we could look up like lowest Rotten Tomatoes score. I wonder what I'm just thinking of like my least favorite.
Oh, Captain
movies.
Marvel.
So like Captain Marvel. I wonder what their
man. You're a man of the people.
Captain Marvel's is. Oh my god.
Hers is probably what like an 89 or something like
79
that. 79. Still way too high.
That's so bad.
That's so high.
I'm saying, oh my god, because
that's
it's
so
way
stupid.
Too high. Like
that's so dumb. There's no way that makes sense.
Audience 45. So the audience knows what they're talking about. But we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Do
the people that make
very,
the money.
Very,
make
very,
them the
very
money.
Fast on this non-spoiler review.
Yes, just so you're aware, they are tied for worst.
Critic.
Oh, goodness.
The critic scores, Ant-Man and Eternals. So,
which no one cares about the critic scores.
Well, we're critics.
Critically assholes.
Anyway, so I went into this with pretty low expectations. I like the first Ant-Man. Second one, nobody fucking remembers. Have no idea what happens in that movie. But MCU movies in general have been pretty bad, so I was like, there's no shot. And while this movie is incredibly flawed, like there's so much wrong with it, and it is objectively not good, I think I can pretty reasonably say that. I didn't hate watching it for whatever reason. Although when I talk about it, I'll probably be bringing up mostly big negative things. But there were a few jokes that worked for me. I think I chuckled like 2 or 3 times throughout the thing, which is better than like Thor: Love and Thunder. So, you know, It wasn't terrible. I don't think I hate the movie. I think it's like one of those where, you know,
yeah.
My feeling is, I'm so sorry.
But Captain Marvel is the lowest rated audience score.
Oh,
good.
Okay. Nice.
Keep it that way.
Yes. The highest is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That
98%.
Makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if I were to give it a score, this is like a solid 2 for sure.
Wow.
For not hating watching it.
That's the only thing. I think the plot of this movie is just completely broken. So, I mean, like, if I hated this movie, it would be a flat out 0.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't. So I'll give it 2 little points there.
Nice. How kind.
Yeah. Wow.
I think for me, like, this movie is really, it did way better than I thought it would for me. Nate said, Max would have hot takes today. I might.
Don't say you might. You texted me saying, I liked it.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Anyway, Ant-Man and the Wasp, like you said, I couldn't tell you what the plot was at. I mean,
no,
I know there's a character called Ghost and is the bad person, but they're not really bad. And then Janet Van Dyne comes back and has magic powers. And
now never has them after that.
Lawrence Fishburne's in that movie.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So I'm just like, what?
I don't know what he does.
What's the point? Can either of you tell me the point of that movie?
No shot. There's a tiny skyscraper.
A tiny tank? No, that was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first one.
But still, yeah, and it turns into a luggage bag. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that from the trailer.
Yep.
Nice.
Anyway.
No idea what happens in that movie.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But I think this one is a lot more memorable. So I think it's definitely, like, if I were to rate first, second, third in as far as their movies, it'd be Ant-Man, the first one. Quantumania would be 2. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Based
three,
on, like, memorabilia, sure. like it's, you know, it's impact in your brain alone. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that ranking.
Yeah, but this movie also
I remember
impacts
a lot about
the Marvel
I hate,
universe.
Though.
But those movies.
Exactly.
That movie didn't impact the MCU. Like, I don't think the first one really did. The second one definitely didn't. This one technically does. It sets up literally the big bad. Anyways.
We'll get into spoilers.
But, I mean, there are funny points. There are jokes that are actually, like, really stupid, kind of similar to, like, some of the ways I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, why did you have that? That's kind of...
Oh, there's some bad jokes.
Stupid.
For
like,
sure.
It's like that takes away from the entire movie. But, yeah, and honestly...
I think his name is MODOK.
MODOK. Damn it, we're doing spoilers. I don't know. I think this movie is probably underrated, but I don't think it's great. I think people think it's dog shit when it's just regular shit.
Nice.
Okay. That's fine. That's not that hot of a take.
But
still calling it shit.
People like shit.
Yeah.
When the shit that's come out has been really bad shit.
Yeah.
I think I
was saying shit.
Yeah, I probably should. I think if I was to give this a score, I'd probably give it. I'm debating between 5.5. I'll go 5.5.
That's in the positive range.
Well, I know, but I think I enjoy the movie still. Like, I would go see it again.
So when I first saw this movie, there was a lot of, like, moments, because I saw this with a different friend, and there was a lot of moments where I went. And, like, my friend was like, I heard you sighing a lot through the movie. I excited to hear your thoughts. And I was like, I remember saying, like, there was so much just dumb stuff that didn't make sense. Like, why is this character doing this? Why would they do this? This doesn't make sense in the context of what's happening. And so lots of weird, dumb mistakes that characters make, which I bring that up every time I have an issue with a movie, is, like, are the characters making choices that make sense to the character? Because if you're not, it really throws me off.
Yeah.
So that happens. I think that as non-spoilery as I can get, there are some characters, at least one specifically in mind, that kind of is ruined, unfortunately. A character that I liked and now is ruined. Characters that don't have a lot of screen time that either just shouldn't be in the movie or they should have figured out how to incorporate them more. Yeah, the way they balanced characters and the way they portrayed them was very strange. The acting, I would say, for the most part, there's a couple misses, but maybe. No, I would say, honestly, for the script and stuff, the acting, pretty good.
Like, I love Michael Douglas. He's not trying at all in this shit, bro. He is getting that mouse paycheck 100%. Like, some of the things I laughed at the most in this movie are not funny lines. They're just they're only funny because he's saying them, and I know he's just like reading off a fucking prompter.
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Like when
he's, I think they're talking about.
Wait, don't say it. We'll get into it because I want to talk about it more
so,
in depth.
But I would say as far as like there's obviously a lot of talented actors in this.
Because I love Michael Douglas.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for sure.
There's cameos. It's like, oh, that sounds like it would be important, but it's an extremely unimportant person.
Yeah. And let me say again, I think this is non-spoilery enough that Kang, I'm not going to say exactly what he does,
conquers.
But there are moments in this movie where I actually, because this is introducing, really, it's really introducing Kang. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw him in Loki, but not Kang the Conqueror, who's supposed to be the next big bad. So I was like, that was a huge anticipation moment
we'll
for me
see.
Watching this movie. Yeah, we'll get into that. But he's supposed to be the next big bad, like Thanos was. And I was like, okay. An Ant-Man movie to introduce him that's supposed to be comedic. I was like, you have to really sell me that he is threatening. Mm-hmm. There were moments in this movie where I felt like he did a really good job, and it made me feel like, oh snap, like I can feel the gravitas to this. He's a very talented actor, and there were moments that I bought that from him. Unfortunately, the way everything else that happened around him kind of seemed to take away from that, and then there were some specific moments that involved him that I'm like, okay, you've kind of ruined the whole you're the big bad. And we'll talk about what those specific things are. But
they underutilize him, but
so yeah. I'm just trying to touch on everything, acting, all that, the characters. As far as the script goes, like Nate said, the plot is kind of all over the place. Yeah. It's just kind of a jumbled mess, and there's the humor is not great either. And anyway, so after I finished watching it the first time, I was like, it was okay. Like it wasn't. It's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite. But it was one of those movies that the more time that went on, the more I thought about it, the more I disliked it. And I haven't seen it again. And I don't really have an urge to watch it again, which is saying something.
Quickly before we move. Well, actually, say your rating first.
So I'll say my rating is, 3.5.
Dang, I like this movie way more than
I was going to say maybe a 4 if I'm being nice. So maybe a 4 on a nice day. But
we'll
like,
see you
it's
at the
definitely
end.
it's lower than a 5 because 5 is very middle of the road.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd probably say 3.5.
Damn.
So is this Phase 5?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Is this the first movie of Phase 5?
It is.
Okay. Interesting, because they kind of did the same thing where wasn't Ant-Man and the Wasp the first movie of Phase 3? Because it was right after Ultron. Or no. I'm a little ahead. It was Ant-Man was right after Age of Ultron. And it was the first movie of Phase 3, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct, yes.
Gotcha.
That's our non-spoiler review, guys. If you want to keep listening, we are spoiling from here on out. Just going to say that.
Spoiling hard. I'm almost actually, I guess it was semi-spoiler that I brought up MODOK because I didn't know he was going to be in this movie when I watched it.
You didn't?
No,
you didn't watch trailers?
I did.
No.
That was like the first thing to be like spoiled to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like MODOK was in it.
That's not a spoiler. He was in the trailers.
And that,
oh, okay.
Well, no. I'm saying more so and who was playing him.
Yeah.
That was a fan theory, but it was a theory that people were talking about. And I immediately was like, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. So when it happened, I wasn't shocked at all.
Also,
we
that's
got
the
to
thing
see
is
his
the
little
first
baby
I,
ass,
the
guys.
First,
we got to see Darren's little baby ass.
First time I saw Darren, like it was like the way the visually, like, the visuals of him and the way they did him, it was really like shit.
Okay.
So I was like, this is totally fake. This ain't a spoil. Someone tried to Photoshop
made that happen.
Yeah.
Okay. MODOK. I'm not a comic book guy. I don't know anything about him other than the little stuff I've seen of him and like on screen representations. Is he a good character in comic books? Does anyone know?
I've heard everyone's like, he's kind of a goofy character. Even in the comics, it's hard to kind of.
Because, he seems completely goofy. He seems like something you shouldn't involve in the movies, honestly. It's just not.
No, I mean, they
too
could.
Out there to include.
I mean, they have freaking a talking duck in Guardians. Different type of movie.
Right.
Say.
But that's
talking animals
going
is one
straight
thing,
more
like,
for the. This is just
you're
such
floating head.
A lazy, weird. Like, it's. Just his literal physical form is just so odd.
Do you mean more so in the way they portrayed him?
I'm arguing, can you do MODOK in how he looks in any kind of representation? Can you do him in a way that's not fucking just lame and goofy as shit?
Maybe make him robotic.
Like you'd have to completely redo his design, right?
Yeah. Because
that's how he looks like in comics. He's a big face with little tiny arms and legs.
Think of the Zola character from Captain America. Like, in the comics, he's like a TV inside of a guy's chest in a big, weird robot man monster behemoth kind of a thing.
Right.
They don't do that at all.
No, they
yeah.
Which like if you look back and like how things are done, I could have seen them doing that and making it look really cool. They don't because I think they were too afraid to touch something kind of weird,
especially, outlandish,
especially
and then
something in like Winter
well,
Soldier.
And this
that's
is
like
worse.
Trying really hard yeah. to be grounded as shit.
Yeah, and this is worse because
and
like,
they were so early
more,
in the MCU at yeah. that time that now you have all the crazy stuff like Guardians yeah. of the Galaxy and all these other crazy weird yeah. movies that they have so much confidence to do the crazy stuff. So
right,
yeah,
yeah. He was goofy.
Darren's a dick.
Also, it's ridiculous that the giant contrivance of Darren being MODOK and being established with Kang is ridiculous. Like, why would Kang be attached to, like, why would he do that? Why would he make
like,
him MODOK?
Why would he care what's about
the,
this
yeah,
little shit?
I mean, apparently the Quantum Realm, which, holy shit, so much problems there, but it's full of, I don't weird. Know, however many people, 1,000, 1,000,000, gajillion, who knows? I have no idea what the Quantum Realm even is.
Listen,
I,
that one guy looked like broccoli.
Well, in Guardians 3, the one guy looked like a carrot. Oh, spoilers, Han, yeah. Nate hasn't seen it.
Damn it. That's not the line that I
holy
was thinking
shit.
Of.
That guy looked like broccoli.
But, I mean, yeah.
Michael
I do
Douglas?
Like that one
why
too.
Would you be Michael Douglas to say that?
Yeah, I don't even remember this line, guys. At all.
It's, oh,
he's gosh. Like walking through and like talking well, about like how
bar,
crazy, yeah. like, is like the ramifications of what this could be in the quantum realm yeah. because of the. That, holy shit, that guy looks like broccoli. Yeah. I mean, it was, like I said, I think that's funny because it's Michael Douglas clearly not trying at all.
So many people have said, like in reviews I've watched and stuff, they're like, Michael Douglas, Hank Pym has no purpose to be in these movies anymore.
Exactly.
His yeah. character arc is done.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I like him in the first one.
Can I? Okay. Now I got to get deep because yeah. now this spurred my thoughts of some of the stuff that I really don't like. Two characters that. We're going to talk straight characters right
yeah.
now. We first talked about MODOK. Let me finish with MODOK real quick because then I have like specific characters of how they either, in my opinion, ruin those characters mm-hmm. or they've made such dumb decisions that makes no sense and they just shouldn't be involved.
Yeah.
Finishing with MODOK, did it work for anybody
no.
when he had a redemption arc and he goes,
he
I'm a part of the Avengers now. And he was like, no. it was supposed to be a joke. Was
cheap
it funny to anyone?
It's cheap
well,
laughs.
Yeah. I no. mean, that whole thing, it's ridiculous. And
but
it's
was
actually...
it even funny to anyone?
No.
Thank
and you.
You
know what's weird is that so MODOK plot-wise was actually really important to finishing off Kang because apparently the ants that come in and save them in the end couldn't do it by themselves. They needed MODOK, so they needed that redemption, which means they needed it to be Darren from the first Ant-Man movie because that's the only that little emotional connection between Cassie and Ant-Man and all that kind of stuff was the only reason
no.
they got him to flip.
The only reason he was in there is so they could say, hey, you remember that thing from the first movie, the guy from the first movie?
Oh, yep. Of course, that's the outside thing, but I'm saying plot-wise... Right, like they needed this these like line of events to actually happen, and it's so ridiculous that like Kang and this entire universe realm that's I don't know infinitely big. Who fucking knows? I don't know
it's
anything about the quantum
small.
Realm. Yeah, exactly.
Get it right.
It would choose Darren of all people to build into the ultimate weapon in the goofiest fucking way, especially because he got so deformed, I guess, from the shrinking. That's
yeah.
what happened,
yeah.
I guess. I don't really know.
Yeah.
His face got left bigger than his the yeah. rest of his body.
Yeah.
And his abdomen just got absorbed into his head.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then Kang, super Thanos guy, is like, oh, yeah, big head motherfucker. Yeah, let's do something with him. That's my guy right there for no reason. And he chose him to be his Darth Vader, essentially. You know what I mean? It's just dumb as shit. And then he switches it. Like, he's been down there for what, 10 years serving this guy? Ant-Man, I mean, it's what is the current year? Is it 2025?
Well, the Quantum Realm time works very different, so we don't know.
Oh, when it works different when they want it to, and it doesn't when they don't want to.
Exactly.
Because they return at the end of the movie seemingly with nothing having changed. No big... there was no 5 years... They were down there for what, a day?
Yeah.
And
but that's
well,
the whole
when
plot
he, in Endgame,
point of Endgame.
He was down there for 5 hours, and it had been 5 years.
He's
so
like,
if he was down there for a day, it should have been 24 years.
Time works differently in the Quantum
and the
Realm.
Ants were down there for 1,000 years. Where did they go? They
yep.
were, what, in just right off a different exit
yep. like,
of the Quantum Realm superhighway? It doesn't
like
make
in,
any fucking
it's like
sense.
In, it's like
dude,
in the
this,
Super
the
Mario
plot
Brothers
of this
movie.
Is Swiss cheese, dude.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
It's like in the Super Mario Brothers movie when they're going through the tunnel and they're going through all these little offshoots.
You never saw that, did you?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Damn it, Nate.
What? No, just say it. We can spoil
yeah,
it.
Well,
Mario,
in, the movie,
dude,
in the movie, there's like doesn't all the they go into the Mushroom Kingdom realm, and like they're going through these little tunnels, and they kind of split off, going on in these different directions. Yeah. I'm like, that's all they're doing.
Do
they're
they go
like,
through the green pipes to get to different places?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That's Mario.
And they should have done that in the Quantum Realm. saying.
There should have been green pipes.
Mario should have showed up.
Should have been like Pac-Man. You go off one side of the screen, you show up on the other. Boom, you're good.
Okay, so a couple characters that I really had an issue with.
Cassie Lang.
No reason for her to be there.
And Hank Pym. Okay? Now, let's start with Hank, because he has less issues, so I feel like I can kind of...
He's less annoying, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, so we can get through that quicker. Hank really frustrates me, because the beginning of this movie, they talk about how Cassie is fiddling with the quantum realm, and she's basically trying to send a signal down to the quantum realm. For what purpose? We don't know, to find out more
she's
about
like
it.
She's like mapping it out or something.
Whatever. But she's trying to, she has this little basically satellite basically thing that she creates that like sends signals down to the quantum realm, right? And then the Janet, Hank Pym's wife, is like, what are you doing? This is dangerous. And I'm like, yes, it is. Hank Pym, who lost his wife down there in the entire first movie, was talking about how you shouldn't be messing with the quantum realm and doing anything. That was like his whole character thing where he was like, yep, it's so dangerous. You shouldn't shrink that, you know, whatever, small. The quantum realm was this place we know nothing about, all this crazy stuff. And he's like so uptight and adamant about it. Now, you could say, oh, this is character development. But in my opinion, it's way too far. He lost his wife there. And now he's like, oh, he told Janet, oh, yeah, I was secretly helping her. You're going to lie to your wife that you lost to the quantum realm about your granddaughter or with your granddaughter and help her now? Regardless.
Or granddaughter-in-law? Sorry.
No, it's just granddaughter.
They're not related.
It's step-granddaughter.
By law, he's...
You're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Regardless. So you're going to help her try to access the same technology and realm that you lost your wife to for 20 years?
Actually, they're not even married, so it's just an old man and a young girl. They have no relation to each other. Hope and Scott aren't married.
Okay. Regardless, it's just some lady. mind-boggling to me that he's like just so okay with it. It breaks his character, and the first time I saw the movie, I was like, oh, Hank's just dumb now. In this entire movie, he just felt dumb. Yeah, but that was like the first thing that really drove me.
It's kind of dumb and a cuck because Bill Murray's just talking about fucking his wife. And
that was a
like,
whole
then he's like, oh, it's okay. I once dated a girl while, you know, blah, blah,
dude,
blah.
Dude, that whole
like,
side
dude,
tangent.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like,
that whole thing was so weird.
Why do we need to know about their weird sexual love lives?
It's a joke.
It's like
didn't land.
Yes, I know. But
so have you noticed that, like, as these movies have progressed and stuff, you've kind of seen them kind of dive more into, like, the awkward humor?
Oh, like, for sure. Like, yeah.
It doesn't have to be awkward to make it funny. And honestly, it's... I think
Love and Thunder
so,
did this all the time, too.
It's getting to the
so
point where it's not
bad.
Awkward. So awkward that it's funny. It's so awkward that I'm just uncomfortable. I'm just like, this is stupid. I'm like...
Yeah, I do wonder what's changed because, like, the only thing I can think of is that, like, for some reason, the humor with the main cast originally, like with, you know, Steve Rogers and, you know, Tony Stark and all those guys, it works so well. And I can't exactly pinpoint why. And I want to say it worked well with Thor too, but then it kind of didn't. You know what I mean? They kind of fell off the wagon.
I think it's
because
those characters are also very, their personalities are easier to grasp and like they're very specific. And I think all these other characters that they have in these movies now, they're a little bit more like they can make them any way they want. Like Captain America, you know what decisions he'll make. He's, you know, self-sacrificing, whatever. You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Iron Man's like playboy philanthropist.
Ant-Man...
Or
like,
at least when they make the other decisions, it means something to us now.
Yeah.
Like at the end of Endgame, when Tony Stark decided to sacrifice himself, when he started out as a selfish guy, that was his full arc, and it means something now. When Captain America then decides to be selfish a little bit and live this dream that he wanted of going back and having the dance with the love of his life, it meant something because we felt like he actually earned that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
No, yeah, and so
flipping
then,
on the switch of a
then you have and again
switch.
These aren't main characters, but like the characters as far as Ant-Man goes, what do you get told that he's a guy who got in some trouble with the law because he was doing this stuff. He knows a little bit about tech stuff, and then he finds out Ant-Man's a person and does stuff with him. Like, what else do you really know? What are defining characteristics? He'll do anything for his family, I guess.
Yeah, he's defining as being a devout father.
Oh,
kind
except
of a
if you're Cassie Lang, you don't think so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, God, that pissed me off.
Let's get
that
into
really
Cassie.
Yeah.
Because I have so much to say.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want to start.
We can't spend that much time on Hank. Cassie kind of fucking sucks.
She does. And that's the character in non-spoilers that I was saying ruined.
Yeah.
Because she was such a likable little kid who loved her father.
Adorable in the first two movies. Yeah. I mean, granted, she's only like 6 and like 8.
Yeah, but it's like
two.
You could see if they did this time gap in Endgame where you finally see them reconnect and she like... It's like, oh, now she's older, and you know she's a part of like Young Avengers, so it's like, oh, this could be an interesting character dynamic between the two.
And by extension, Hope is also kind of lame in this movie in the same way, because like, so in the beginning of the movie, Cassie gets arrested because she uses Ant-Man technology to break up police clearing out a homeless camp in San Francisco. Sure, buddy. Okay. I'm buying that. Like, cops are running around San Francisco beating homeless people. They're mostly homeless people. Anyway. Okay.
Cops are homeless, too.
Yeah. She gets in trouble for that, shrinks a cop car down, does, you know, all this kind of different stuff. And then, like, Paul, you know, Scott's like, hey, you know, I get that you're, you know, he's pretty cool about it. He's like, I get that you're trying to be, you know, trying to make change or blah, 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 but like, this isn't the way to go about it. And she's all like, well, at least I'm doing something. And oh, it's like, God. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm only one of the most important people in existence because, you know, I'm pretty pivotal to the idea that we all came back. Half of existence
Ant-Man helped
came
save
back.
The world.
Yeah. No. He's,
multiple times.
Without him, none of that shit would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's the rap.
Tony Stark never would have even tried
the
to fix it.
The entire beginning of this movie where she is trying to. Oh, no. The entire actual character like connection between their arc as characters of Scott Lang and Cassie is horrible because it's like the whole time she's like, you're not a good dad and you're not really doing anything to help anybody.
Yeah, you just
and
wrote
I'm like,
a book.
There is no evidence in all the movies we've seen that he is like that. He does anything and everything he can for you and at the same time save the world multiple times.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's like you're
out
just
of nowhere,
high...
it's like, how do you make us hate a character? Yeah. Oh, just make her absolutely hate one of the most likable and caring people that we've seen in MCU.
Because, I mean, Scott's always been willing to lie down and stuff. He went to jail for Captain America.
Jail for Cassie.
Yeah, I mean,
which is, again, if you really think about it, bad parenting. But you know what I'm saying. But at least, like, he's trying whatever he can.
He is a morally upstanding guy, and he's willing to put everything on the line for it, and he's done that time and time again. Like, and he's also humble. He doesn't, like, he's not egotistical like Tony Stark or something like that. Like,
dude.
He's just an all-around really likable guy. And so when you introduce his daughter as having their first real character for herself, because she was too young in the other movies to really have one.
Right.
This is the first time we really get to see her as an adult, as a person. And the first thing she does is kind of shit on the main guy who's literally given up everything.
Yeah, fuck you. Like, we hate
I know.
Her
it's, it is. And also, we hate her.
And also, she is. I mean, like, yeah, he was a criminal for doing some stuff. This lady is a real criminal doing things to, like, police officers. She's basically a felon.
Right, like,
and then she gets bailed out of jail.
I'm sorry,
so
you're
easily.
16
what?
Years old, so you know how the world should work. You know what's right and wrong. You know what to go and break up and anything.
You could
like,
argue,
sure, there could be some real injustice out there, but attacking police officers probably at 16 years old with advanced
and you could
attack,
argue when you get to like being that age that like of course you get rebellious, but like this was just too far because you're attacking. It made the audience feel
well, and then Hope kind of tacks onto it. Like she's all silent in that car ride, and then she's like, "Well,
she's
kind of
right.
She's kind of right. I use PIM particles to grow trees, so which is also like, okay. So they have that thing where like she's apparently taking back the company, and they're like, now she's using PIM particles to feed the hungry and for global change and like da da da, and like housing. And I was thinking like, okay. Housing. How's she using PIM particles for housing? Okay.
They're making tiny
houses. Making tiny
houses
and then making them big. Or, more fun, homeless people she makes really small.
And then toss them in the ocean.
There's 100,000 homeless people in one 1,200-foot house.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is way funnier.
Awesome. First off. But also, the thing is, too, that like Cassie in the other movies was talking about, I think it was in the second one, Scott was like, yeah, I got to go do this thing. And he was like, but I might, somebody a sidekick. And she's like, I'll be your sidekick. And it was like being like cute and adorable or whatever. And then he laughed and she goes, why are you laughing? And it's like, She, even as a kid, saw what he was doing. Why all of a sudden does she have this change of heart that he's a horrible person?
Yeah, the person
you said that she was so young she didn't really have a character. I disagree. She loved and saw what he was doing and tried her best to help, even though she couldn't because she was so young.
She was. I just telling him that he is our hero.
I know, but I'm not saying like shitting
you
on you for having that opinion. I'm just saying if you really think about it, no, her character was actually more well developed than you really think. If you really think about it.
But it's developed as a person who loves her father, cares about her father, who is inspired by her father, and looks up to this person.
Yeah.
Why would you all of a sudden just, out of nowhere, take a... Unless you're just blaming it because he, not his fault, was gone for 5 years. Again, not his fault.
I mean, 16-year-olds are dumb and rebellious.
But
they,
then,
they
but
say
then
crazy
talk
stuff.
About this.
Sure.
Stuff, right?
But that is not a good way to introduce a character that you're going to want us to like.
It's such a shallow... Such
that
a shallow,
is a bad way. So what
thing.
What I think happens is that their relationship is kind of... supposed to be the emotional core of the movie, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
I guess.
Right? It's not good, but that's the closest thing, because it's not Scott and Hope.
Dude,
it's
I would
no
look my
else.
Daughter in the face and be like, I literally went on house arrest from you to help
save
people.
And I just bailed
people.
You out of jail, so maybe shut
it's
the
like,
fuck up.
It's like, if you want me to do this, I can spend less time with you. Because if anyone deserves to spend more, take a break and spend more time with his family, who's lost out on 5 years, it's him. But she, because after... He got in trouble and he was like, well, I'm probably going to get screwed for this and go to jail in Civil War. But he was like, I'm going to fight for what's right. Mm-hmm. And then his daughter in the second Ant-Man, when he was on house arrest for that, was like proud of him, even though he was on house arrest and could barely see her. I mean,
I
would have
told her,
house.
Sweetie, you'd still be in jail if I wasn't an Avenger. Shut the fuck
you
up. See,
also, you know what joke did not land when she was like, you fought against, you went to Germany and fought against Captain America. First off. You know for a damn well who was on whose side, even in this universe.
Yeah, they confused it, and I was like, no.
I'm like, first off, you
would
know exactly who he's
that.
Fighting for. And
also, that, like, they've been doing this recently where they do that self-referential humor to other heroes that aren't really around anymore, like, a lot, and it's, I find it cringy.
It is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I wouldn't fight Captain America. I'm not insane. It's like,
yeah.
We get it. We all love Cap. But Jesus, don't throw it in my face. I know how I feel about it already. Like,
can I tell you another thing I don't like about Cassie? It's not even just the relationship. Mm-hmm. It is she's a Mary Sue. Because
she's a genius. She's a kid genius.
Oh,
now.
Not only that, but she knows exactly how to use the Ant-Man tech. We don't. If you want us to like a hero, origin stories are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's like learning the trials and tribulations of having to learn how to use your superpowers and how you balance that with your real life. When they get into the quantum realm, he doesn't know that she has a suit. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she shrinks down. She's like, we can't just stand here. And he's like, we barely even know these people when they were getting attacked.
Right.
That weird tribe or whatever that captured them.
Whatever.
And
that
she
was.
Like runs off and then shrinks and does all her stuff. And then he's like, you have a suit? She's like, ah, yeah, I have a suit. And I'm like, oh, and you know exactly how to use it. Even though he was trying to explain, no, you got to shrink like this and then go big. And then he
what
did
he say,
it.
Jump in what?
I don't know. My whole point is like there was it that was like the quick like, oh, this is her kind of learning. I'm like, no, it's not. She knows how to use it. And
but
it's kind of supposed to be funny.
Also,
but there was no real connection.
Do you remember how
she
taxing
is
growing
beautiful at it?
Do you know how taxing getting big used to be on Scott and everybody, you know, anyone else did it? They just
not a
willy nilly, even her, she grows big at the end. It gets
Can I tell you? Can I tell
like
you
bigger than he ever got? In
can
the
I
other
tell
two
you
movies?
A very, very interesting fact about that? That shout out Chris Copeland. He pointed this out. Yeah. I did not even think about this or notice this, but it's so true. At the end, when she goes big, and then she's like, "Yeah, but I really want some limes." And he's like, "I know. You just get a craving for citrus, don't you?" Remember?
Yeah.
Because he was like,
I want
orange
slices.
So that was a reference to when he said orange slices when he grows big.
Okay.
No one in this movie went big. They are quantum size and got a little bigger.
They got more. No.
Their big version in this movie
Listen.
Is microscopically smaller than their regular small.
But you're not.
Size.
No, but also, you're not even taking it to this point. They were extremely microscopic to this. Their quantum size, right? But they're not getting bigger. They're getting normal.
Not
they're
even
getting
not
more
even.
Normal.
That's my point.
Yeah,
that's my point.
So they should have been able. Sense. He should have been able to get basically any size he wanted down there and be fine.
He literally could have been.
He could have become
a celestial size
billion
being.
Times larger than anyone on that
and
planet,
be
and
a
just
problem.
Squashed everything like an egg.
And it
shouldn't
be a problem at all.
Yeah. Wow. Holy shit.
They never got
worse.
Big in this movie.
He only got big enough.
The writers
to hold
didn't
him in
think
his
of
hand.
That either.
No.
To be fair,
no shot.
I didn't think of that when I watched it.
Yeah.
But Chris was like. I was talking to him about it, and he was like, that makes no sense. No one got big. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah,
they
that's
were in the
crazy.
Quantum
good
realm.
On him for pointing that out. He could point that out, but he can't point out Mandalorian. Anyway.
That blew my mind. I was like, well, yeah, you're right.
As long as we're on characters, we should probably finish up characters before we move on.
Yeah,
to, like,
I'm trying to think if there's anything else about
stuff.
Cassie, but yeah, the whole relationship
the
they
thing
had
I was
saying, like, I don't, and then at the end she's like, maybe you are like helpful. It's like, yeah, it took you long.
The thing
to
I was
out.
Saying about Cassie with as far as Cassie and Scott being the emotional center of the movie is that the reason that I imagined the writers had her have that whole big spiel at the beginning of the movie is because they needed to tear the two characters apart in the beginning so that at the end when they came back together it felt good, right? But good writers would create a reason to tear the two characters apart.
They would make it good.
You would see both sides and be like, you know what? I might not agree with one or either or both, but I can see where they're coming from and they seem like decisions that character would make. They didn't do that at all. They just wrote in some bullshit thing that makes us hate that character.
Yeah.
Which it's just lazy. Yeah.
100%.
No, and again,
but one making us hate him and then also making her just good at everything all of a sudden. Like, oh, she has the Ant-Man suit, so she can just do the Ant-Man
girl
stuff.
Boss.
No training. At least they had like a training montage that made sense in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Also, I want to get to
but they've been doing that with everything. Riri Williams is just
oh, I know. I'm just saying they're
good,
just still doing
Tony
it.
Tony Stark for no reason.
Yep.
So I want to get to Janet for a moment. Janet Van Dyne. Again, so stupid. All this shit that happened that is extremely like monumental stuff that happened while she was there, and she doesn't say a single thing to it. No one questions that. No one literally says, Hank Pym literally doesn't go up to her and say, why the hell my wife is not telling me about what happened?
Oh, yeah. It's this very trope of, like, I'm not going to tell you what happened. Even when they're there.
Dark.
It's like, it's just so. And that's why
so
it's
they can
like,
build up this mystery look, so that she could chop off the guy's arm and then they'd laugh about it in the most cliche thing I've ever
look,
fucking
everyone
seen.
Everyone said that she did an amazing job acting.
Now,
I'm not saying that
this
she didn't
is
do
great
good,
writing,
I'm not saying
writing
that,
of the character,
I'm
not her
say,
acting.
No, I'm not saying she's not a good actress. I'm not saying she didn't do well acting in this movie. But because of the emotional gravitas she was supposed to have as that character when she was saying, I can't tell you or whatever, it felt so, it was so annoying and cheesy to me because I knew what they were trying to do. I'm not saying that's her fault as an actor because she may have acted it well, but it's like, I just don't buy it because it's so dumb that you're not saying anything to them and you're trying to like have this wall up. It made no sense.
I don't think the material, the source, like the writing for this movie was good enough for me to confidently say that anyone could do an amazing job acting in this movie. You know what I mean? Like there's just not enough substance, right? It's like, you know, like if I took a crayon to paper and handed it to, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, there's only so much he can do. You know, like it's, you know what I mean? Like it's, I don't think anyone did an amazing job, but it's not their fault. Like, this is a broken I handed them my big bin of Lego pieces from when I was a kid, and I said, build me. You know, like, that's, it's ridiculous for them.
I'll take that one. Yeah. I'll do that. I'll build you something badass. And you're going to be like, yes.
And
make
you're going to be like,
cinematic universe of it.
You're going to be like, Nate, why is there, like, you know, used wrappers and fucking, like, not Lego pieces in here?
Why is there a half-eaten Jolly Rancher?
Exactly, because it's a kid's fucking Lego bin full of garbage. It's like Batman toys and all that shit in there, you know what I mean? Just hanging out. Like, it's a useless pile
this
of crap.
This is a bag of blocks.
Is basically what I'm saying, yeah. So there's nothing to be created here. So it's not their job, but I'm just amazed that anyone's like, they did an amazing job. Like, career-breaking performance. And I'm like, what the fuck? At this? They were standing in front of a blue screen the entire fucking time. They don't even know where they were. They don't even know what was happening.
Did y'all see the memes of this movie where it was like, this may be before y'all's time because I, you know, I'm an old man. I got a kid, you know.
You are a dad.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever see like Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
You ever seen for
movies?
Sure.
I have, yes.
Have you
yes.
seen all the memes about that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, when I saw that, I was like, it's not going to be
dreams,
that bad.
Dreams. Do you remember that song? Oh, my God.
Was that in Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
No.
Yes. That's, Taylor Lautner sang the song about dreams, what? And it's so funny,
holy
dude.
Shit. I need to go back and watch that movie.
You need to watch
we
that.
Should,
and the
we
same,
should.
The same people, I think, made, like, Spy Kids and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Spy
yeah.
Kids was my
is it Robert
Floobleese.
Robert Rodriguez? Is that the director?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he did Spy Kids. I didn't know if he did Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Oh, gosh. All right. All right. We need to do it.
Yeah. Anyway. Huh?
Nothing, dude.
Oh, okay.
Floop makes this F with his fingers that I learned to do as a kid.
Tyler's showing, throwing up gang
Floop
signs.
Floobleez.
You guys remember this movie
thumb.
Way better than
there
I
were thumb thumbs. They were henchmen made out of
thumb thumbs.
That and they always
me.
Drop stuff because
they're
all thumbs.
Yeah. Jesus. All right. Back on.
Dude, I loved Spy Kids as a kid. I had a giant Spy Kids 2 poster on my wall.
Junie!
All right.
That's the dumbest name ever. Junie.
Sucks. Kid got made fun of, I bet.
I'm trying to remember. Is there any other character stuff we need to talk about?
Do we
want to get into like King stuff?
King.
Like,
yeah, that's
all
right.
That's the stuff that really drew me in. And I mean, I know it wasn't like the epic proportions that they were hoping.
But there
for,
were moments like when,
but
when
it's like this is even if this Kang isn't like supposed to be the person who he is in the comics, where he's this big, big like person. Even if he is just localized to this.
Well, was, no, he's supposed to be a big bad.
You know, he is. Well, but just, I'm saying we if don't he know was, if he was just going to be in this movie just as a bad guy in here, he's a good bad guy.
Up until the end. So
yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Because but, when, like, Ant-Man, Scott Lang, and Cassie got put in this little jail cell or whatever, and we see Kang, like, approach them and is, like, talking to them, dude, I actually fully bought it. Like, I was mm-hmm. so... That was, like, the one... I can remember that scene pretty vividly in my head of, mm-hmm. like, him talking to them, and I was, like, feeling stuff. I was like, dude, this guy feels threatening.
Yeah.
He feels imposing, and I really liked it.
He's trying to... It sounds like he's trying to convince them of one thing. It's like, you don't know... Is he trying to do something good? Because he makes it sound like he's like, no,
right.
I was exiled
they
did
pull
here.
A little bit
I
of
never
a,
believed that
they
he was
they pulled a little bit of a
Thanos
where they tried to be like, you don't really know what's going on here. I'm doing what's best. And I bought that a little bit. I needed more context to be like, but is he really?
But who's worse? Is he worse or is the Kangs, the
Council of
Kangs.
Kang.
Yeah, and you don't know because we haven't met them yet.
Yeah,
we don't know.
But it makes you think, like, all right, well, is he the bad? Obviously, he does bad shit. Like, she saw it when she put together his universe drive or whatever it's called.
His universe chair.
The time chair.
The time egg.
Yeah. Which, okay, so let me try to understand Kang's plot line here well, because I didn't watch Loki, so I don't know how much that has to do, because I don't really understand his power set. Because I guess he's just a normal
no
guy with tech, right?
It's a different version of him and Loki, and he's a very different character. So you
okay?
Not
so
really
I didn't need
push.
To see Loki.
I have a
okay.
question about the one from him and Loki when we get to that. But you keep going.
This was the one thing I was going to say. Is the one thing that did bother me is we don't know what he can and he can't do.
Yeah.
And he seems overpowered, and he uses some powers when it's
but
when it's helpful,
at the end of the movie, he
times.
Like you see his like I guess his like gauntlet or like his. Since his chair breaks or something breaks and now he just him and Scott just have like a fist fight and he seems like a normal guy.
So yeah, so basically
he's
his
got future kung fu.
Like his outfit or his chair. His chair mm-hmm. gives him power.
Right.
And we only know this from the movie. So like
and it seems to be like pretty much anything he wants to do.
So it seems right. at least it seems telekinetic, like he can like move things around with his mind and stuff,
but he also
mainly.
Like causes explosions and like
shoots
creates
lasers.
A shield around himself yeah and puts out like Iron Man yeah. beams and just slices people that like instantly vaporizes people, so it's like it's kind of whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, it's very frustrating because when you're going to build a very big bad, like you do need to make them either relatable
so
or like
cool about Thanos is that they spent all the time kind of talking about stones and all these other movies, and then when they put together, you have a pretty good understanding
yeah.
of.
And even
and when they show things happening, it's like, look, it's that stone doing that thing.
Even in Infinity War, it's like they you understand enough about him without
right.
the stones that you understand kind of what he's capable of. With no stones,
yeah.
he beat the shit out of Hulk.
Right.
So it's like he's a Hulk-esque strength-wise. He mm-hmm. is from a planet called Titan, which is he basically is a Titan, which
right.
is a race of people that are basically just tanks, right? So it's like they're big, they're strong, they're not quite indestructible, but like they are some of the strongest
got, like,
aliens
Greek mythology
out there.
Titans were just like a race of big beings that went up against the gods,
right?
So
it's like you know that
he's
strong, he's not quite invincible, but like he's one of the strongest species
right.
out there. And then you give him this power, and so it's like you understand what's
right.
happening.
And so it's very clear, like what his powers. I had no idea what this guy could do.
It makes
yeah,
it
and
so
I
much
knew
more
that,
fun when you know what's
yeah,
going on.
I, right.
know
I think it's hard. I think it's hard when also they're taking from these comic books and like you said with Thanos. Yeah, well, he's actually his origin is way different than what it is in the movies, which is fine and it works. Mm-hmm. And like what Tyler was saying, he was able to derive. Exactly kind of what he was as a baseline. And this character, we don't really know enough about him. Like, obviously in the comic books, we know exactly who he is, and it's a Fantastic Four thing, and it's like, all right, and he's only tech.
Did you know that he's a descendant of Reed Richards?
Kang?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like
no.
a he's like a 10th generation grandson kind of mm-hmm. thing.
Okay, so he's from the future,
yeah,
and he's like a time
his
traveler
name, his
kind
real
of
name
thing?
Is something Richards, I don't know. Yeah, he's from the future.
Okay. Oh, isn't it actually Nathaniel Richards? I think so. I was looking at the wiki for some because I was trying to understand
Mr. Fantastic,
something.
Stretchy boy himself. That's his. Which, by the way, did you know who's confirmed to play Mr. Fantastic?
Is it confirmed?
No. I haven't looked in depth, but I've seen titles of articles saying it's confirmed now.
So I'm guessing it's not John Krasinski.
No, and it makes me so sad.
Which is okay.
Is no, it who I thought? We're side tangent here. I got to get Nate's perspective on this.
Holy shit. I'm just going back to Multiverse of Madness where, if you look a certain way in one multiverse, you pretty much always look that way. Like every Doctor Strange looks like Stephen Strange.
Unless Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
So some variants look similar and some don't.
There's painted worlds, I guess, too, where you can just look like... for the majority of worlds, it seems like you look the right way, because or otherwise they just got incredibly lucky that like the Mordo they went into and the Stephen Strange both looked the same.
Mordo had long hair. I don't want to hear it.
You see what I'm saying? Like the Illuminati world they went into, Mordo and Stephen Strange both look identical.
Just depends on the world, brother. Yep. Sometimes you can look similar and sometimes you can't.
Yeah, I guess there's infinite worlds, so anything's possible.
Yep. But apparently, who's going to play the R version of Reed Richards? Adam Driver.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm cool with that. And I was like, that sounds interesting.
He's joining another big sinking Disney ship. Yeah. Nice. He's going to be around just in time to watch it fail.
Well, anyways.
I'm okay. I just think it's interesting. So I think it's an interesting
question. I like Adam Driver as an actor for sure. But yeah,
if it can't be John Krasinski, I'll take Adam Driver. But everyone wanted John Krasinski. I don't know why they don't. Just whatever. Anyways.
It's too obvious. It's just
what do you mean obvious? Who cares? You already casted him.
You already did him.
What's the point?
It's just dumb.
I don't understand.
He didn't want to do it. Maybe he was like, God, these movies are trash. I don't know why I do this shit.
And then Adam Driver's like, I'll take the money.
Yeah.
I have the strength.
I don't know what to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Yeah. Just sign on the dotted line.
You already have.
Give me your soul.
So I felt the imposingness of Kang. I do hate that they are just so... Because if you want to create stakes, if you want to feel like lives are at stake and like things are actually like have meaning, you have to have limitations. If you don't, then when something happens, you go, yeah, I guess that can happen. So who cares?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So like you need those limitations. So that's a downfall. The biggest downfall, though, is like he actually felt imposing for most of the movie, and then he got beat by ants.
Yeah.
And the people that are telling me,
talk about eagles saving at the end of the Lord of the Rings. I mean, holy shit!
People who are saying like, oh, but like they're like in super intelligent ant beings who have been around for thousands of years, and I'm like, that's so dumb and lame.
It wasn't just
also
ants.
They entered.
I don't care how old you, dude. I'm sorry. I'm like interrupting you, but I have to say this real quick.
Yeah.
He said to help him feel more imposing, like, I beat tons of Avengers, whatever. And he specifically said he killed Thor.
Yeah.
But thousand-year-old ants can beat you?
Bro,
Thor,
you gotta understand.
Thor, one of the most powerful beings in the MCU.
It wasn't just
ants.
Listen, it wasn't just ants.
You stop it,
man. Hank Pym literally said, sorry, I'm late. Lot of ants. It's a lot of ants.
It is funny. See
that was a joke that I thought was good. The whole this guy looks like broccoli thing. I thought was like this is kind of shitty.
The line that made me bust out is so dumb. It's that stupid one from the beginning where they're talking about Cassie being in jail and Hank Pym's like, I would have just broken you out with ants.
he's like a crazy grandpa now. He's like, it's the ants.
Yeah, he's just
that did
there.
Make
he's
me
there,
bust
Alex
out
Jones.
He actually had a character arc in the first couple movies.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
Why
now
is
he's just
still
a goofball who just likes ants.
Oh,
he's
grandpa,
who has to listen to his stories about how his wife got fucked by another man.
By Bill Murray,
silly cucks, grandpa.
Dude, it's just I don't. And okay, you can argue. Yeah, okay, Kang didn't die. He just got.
It wasn't until MODOK came in.
No, he didn't die because then he came back. But he was held down by them for a period of time, which is really dumb.
Essentially,
and he screamed,
"Ah!"
He's being dragged away by ants. Yeah. Come on, dude!
Yeah,
it's
goofy
so
as fuck.
Dumb.
Also, again, the ants came in the exact same way the rest of them did. Why did they go down some weird thousand-year wormhole while the rest of them didn't?
Don't know.
And also, I get they're super intelligent. I guess they're
to
are
make
they super
the
intelligent
story
ants,
happen.
Or are they just ants that Hank Pym can control? Because in the other movies, all we see them do is be able to be controlled by Hank.
No, they had this whole explanation when they went down this
they're intelligent.
Path, and they're like 1,000-year-old. They got super intelligent. And,
okay,
and
ants have been around for hundreds of millions of years and have never gotten super intelligent.
Quantumania.
It's quantum.
So, again, AKA unless those
they're
ants...
They're ants, but only quantum.
Because they're ants. And also, ants, I'm assuming, that don't have a queen ant with them.
Did
they
you
bring
see the big-ass ant?
Yeah, that's just
that's
big ant.
That might
that's
be a
not
queen
a queen.
Ant,
they look
know.
Different. I'm just saying, Daddy like, ant. How are they making more ants? Ants don't fuck each other.
I'm just waiting for the meme that I've seen online to actually come true where Ant-Man 4 comes around and you see this winged ant with a robotic arm and then he and then Scott Lang looks at him and he goes, Anthony? Who the hell's Anthony? The ant speaks back. Yeah. it's a Winter Soldier all over again.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's dumb.
Okay, I want to talk about the world of this. Well, I guess I never really gave my Kang thing. Kang is
wait, before you get to your last thing, I just want to say one last thing about Kang. I'm done with Kang. I liked how it was a villain, and not all of them are like this, but there wasn't a humorous moment with him.
You liked that?
I liked it because...
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, I loved it. It's just
you could argue
not,
it's humorous. He got taken away by ants. But.
Get eaten by an. You could be.
But he
Ant-Man.
Didn't go, haha, ants or something.
So
dumb.
He didn't have like a weird awkward thing where he looks at MODOK and go, get out of here. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something weird.
So,
that they would do.
I will say that
get out
like,
of here with your little baby ass.
I like
get your baby ass out of here.
The guy who plays him. What's his name again?
Oh, you like him? You support all the terrible things he's done to women?
I love how he beats women. That's my favorite part about him.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
well, technically,
he
kills all the women, too. He beat
he has a lot of screen presence, and you're right about that one scene when they're in the they're locked away.
I was like, oh, my
things.
God, they're going to do
yeah,
it. They're going to make
good.
It feel threatening.
However, I think like the decisions the character makes are wild and weird and
And
don't
again,
make
if
any
you're gonna
so
one quick thing about being taken away by ants, this is an Ant-Man movie. If you want something like dumb and silly to happen to the villain, Ant-Man is a movie you can get away with it, but not when you're introducing Kang.
Yeah.
Like you guys have to understand, you have the responsibility
big,
of
bad,
introducing the big bad
villain.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like,
but like, okay, so I want to try to correct me if I'm wrong on any of this.
You're
but,
wrong.
You're wrong.
Kang gets exiled to the Quantum Realm by the Council of Kangs.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah, why not just kill him?
For real. Because
you are why? Sending a dangerous guy, to your perspective, into a place with all of his super dangerous tech. First of all, you just let him keep his time chair.
It's
I know
very
it's broken.
I remember Star Wars, the episodes 1 through 3. This is a very diplomatic group, so they got to make decisions together. Right.
One's
so it's,
dressed
they,
like a
they
freaking
can't just
pharaoh.
Kill somebody. Come on.
I mean, well, if you're talking about infinite multiverses, you can kill anyone with essentially zero...
Yeah, if anything, they shouldn't
right?
care at all.
Because there's infinite copies
so
of everyone.
When, so have you seen Loki, Tyler?
Yes.
And you've seen Loki?
No. Fuck that.
Okay,
show.
So the whole thing is they get to the end and like the Kang there mm-hmm. is talking about, he's like, oh, if you kill me, I will be replaced. And you and or it's like, I think they might have said something like you don't want to see him or something to the likes of that.
So the Kang and Loki are they talking was to, take well, he was in this castle that basically is the center of time.
Yep.
So basically, this version of
that
Kang is like controlling the timelines to make sure they don't cross. Because the last time that they did, there was a multiversal war that was started by Kangs. And so Kang in Loki was like, you don't want to see the other versions of me. They're terrifying. And this one was kind of like silly and happy and whatever. And but he was like, you don't want to see the versions of me. It's terrifying. If you kill me, you're going to unleash a multiverse.
By the way,
war.
He's very like...
That's basically all he was there for. He didn't really have any powers, but he was controlling the timelines.
He's very like Willy Wonka from like the old
60s
one.
So, but I mean...
But were they? Was he talking about like this Kang or the other Kangs or just them in general?
He was just...
Just talking about them in general?
I think he was just talking about them in general. I think he did say there was a specific Kang that was trying to conquer a bunch.
Yeah.
I could be wrong though. I don't know.
To get... Just to specify onto this movie, though, because I just don't know anything about Loki. So he gets exiled by the other Kangs. We don't exactly know why.
And that's what makes me think, like, all right, so these guys are obviously bad guys.
Right.
So
he
if
was,
you're a bad guy,
he's going
a bad
against
guy.
Them in some
are
way. We
guy?
Don't know if he's trying to just be too selfish and take too much for himself. Like, he was a part of it, I'm assuming.
But there is good
but
in him also.
Too...
There's good in him because he obviously got his ship fixed, and then he tells Janet, he's like, I'll make it, I'll fix everything for you.
But here's the thing, we don't know if the Council of Kings are bad or not. We don't know enough about them.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't.
You probably assume.
Well, why
they're
though?
Not great.
Why?
There's well, because like, it's a movie. So, like, what are they going to introduce and they're all going to be friends?
No, but you know what I mean? That could be the difference
assemble.
Of the Kang the Conqueror. Is like, hey, yeah, and all the councils, like, hey, we actually, on your guys' side, we're trying to stop him because he went rogue. And this is the big bad Kang. And who knows? Maybe in the Secret Wars, Kang the Conqueror, or I'm sorry, what is the one before Secret Wars that's all about Kang? It's called
Kang Dynasty.
Kang Dynasty. Maybe he kills all the other Kangs because they are trying to stop
sure.
him.
Sure. Okay, fair. Fine.
We don't know. We don't have to spend time with them.
That doesn't even really matter in my point as far as like anything about them. All I'm saying is that he did something to get them to want to exile him, even though they should have just killed him. It doesn't make any sense for you to exile someone with all your super crazy tech, even if you are putting them somewhere they don't think you'll ever be able to escape. Guess what? You can. So, should have just killed him.
Yeah.
And then beyond that...
And because they sent him there with his chair that could go through dimensions.
Which
is fixable.
Some reason, if you touch the power source of his chair, you see all his memories? What?
Wow. Dude, yeah,
this is like the Multiverse of Madness Doctor Strange 2 part where they walk through the memory store. It's just like they needed the characters to see something to know what the, you know what I mean? They needed to push the plot
but
along. I don't know. He's going to touch a battery
but at
and
least
all.
They
I saw.
Even if it's a lame and like super easy explanation, memory store at least makes sense. Silly thing in another world, who cares? This chair thing, there's no explanation.
Oh, a memory store doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not dumb, but at least like.
You want to tell me that they would make a store where if you could randomly walk across a pad on the ground and it would share some memory from you?
It's
what if it was a memory of me jerking off?
It's advertising.
I would never step on that fucking pad.
Dude, different worlds, anything can happen. My point is...
Fuck that. I hate that explanation
so fucking
much.
My point is I will take that over the chair thing because they haven't...
Absolutely hate the infinite universe, anything can happen. That sucks.
Sorry.
That is such a fucking... That's the biggest crutch I've ever seen.
No,
you can
agree.
Just write off anything. You can just, doesn't matter.
I can agree
and
with
actually,
that.
Actually, in all alternate universe, bad writing is good writing. So, boom, we're good. This is a good movie.
It's true. In our universe, it's a bad movie. Maybe in another
universe.
It's,
exactly.
It's
so
a,
you
it's
really
a five and a half
we
now,
really,
isn't it?
We're assholes for judging this movie and calling it bad
My
because in another
is,
universe, it's
at
good.
At least the way they showed the memory, it's because there's this thing and whatever. Is it dumb? Sure. No. But at least we understand... why it showed up. We don't with the chair. She just touched it. Now she sees. Yeah. That annoys me.
But at least
more.
At least in this memory,
wait,
her parents didn't get killed by a bee.
Well, wait. Oh, my gosh. Anyways. No, but for real, now that I think about it, I think they explain the chair thing is because it's a telepathic device. He uses it telepathically. It hooks up telepathically to people. Right. So by her, I mean... Who knows how you hook your Bluetooth?
So she just disconnected his Bluetooth and hooked up to her.
I don't know how, but like, I mean, I don't know if that holds enough weight to make sense.
Probably not.
Is it too cheap? I don't know.
You just have to grab the big ball of light. That's how you hook up.
You hit the little Bluetooth logo. And it's
it's dumb for sure.
Pairing.
And then we don't really know his motivation as a character, do we?
He wants to get out of there.
Sure, but like. To do
whatever the hell he wants, conquer, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's okay-ish because, again, you're introducing a big bad. You don't want to know everything he wants to do right up front. We know we have to prep him for other movies. That's part of the point of why did they exile him and what is his plan? We don't really know, but we know he wants
honestly,
to get out to
it
execute
like...
it. And guess what? I don't want a villain that's going to tell us everything. So I don't really care
Here's
they don't
the
tell
thing.
Us what happened.
I don't want him to do a big monologue thing or whatever, but I feel like there's a way to give me a little something to make sure I'm really invested in making sure the hero succeeds in this mission.
Oh, well, but yeah, again, it might be dumb that she saw what his thoughts were or what he's done in the past, but she saw him annihilate universes.
Yeah, right.
So because he's like, I got to get out of here and basically... It's very apparent that the assumption is that's what he's going to do. So that's enough for me for the characters to want to...
That's the thing that makes me think that he is almost has maybe a different like pathway of doing it and outcome, but like he's trying to do what the Kang from Loki was doing. He's stopping these other universes from existing or happening and creating only the one universe by pruning or whatever, but he's just going and just... annihilating it.
Okay, well, if his goal is to get rid of all the other universes, that's a stupid goal because there's infinite. That's how not how infinite works.
Well, it's,
you can't get rid of you can't get rid of
it's a
any,
constant thing.
You
he's
literally
doing.
An infinite universe is you can't get rid of any portion of it. If there's infinite of something, you cannot diminish it by any percentage at all. It all doesn't matter. It's infinite. You see what I'm saying? This is why I fucking
to
hate
infinity.
Infinite universes timeline bullshit, because nothing matters. They could demolish a billion universes. It doesn't fucking matter.
Well,
there's
also they describe timeline as a circle. That's also a thing they do.
Oh, my God.
To where
how
it just
it
starts over.
And a circle.
It starts over. Kind of like right. In Futurama. It's sick.
No, it's not.
It's connected. Same universe.
You know what's crazy, though? Is I actually saw this on, I was going to say Mike Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson
yeah.
discussing
space.
This.
Space. Listen, so the math.
The spaceship went into asteroids.
And then I punched to the earth. Whooped his ass.
It's like you guys are just doing Chris Tucker with a lisp. It's not even fucking
Chris
Mike
Tucker.
Tyson.
Chris Tucker. Hey, man.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about, I think it was on Joe Rogan possibly, but he was like, there's bigger infinities than others. Ready for your mind to be blown?
The only thing I think is
blow
they started
my
being
mind.
Earlier.
No, listen. So there are bigger infinities than others. So numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Infinite. Okay? That is a bigger infinity.
Infinity plus one.
Then you're saying the infinity
than odd
between
numbers.
Oh yeah. Okay.
There's an infinite number of odd numbers, yeah. But there are more infinite numbers that are just numbers.
Right.
Decimal numbers. Decimals.
Right.
Fractions. Wow. Halves.
Yeah. Well there's an infinite number amount of numbers between one and two.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very small infinity. Nice.
But it's just interesting
if
you think about it.
Right?
Yes. There are more if you're talking whole numbers, there is an infinite amount of whole numbers, but there are more of that than odd numbers infinitely.
Well, you're still putting a range on it, which I still think is wrong.
Yeah. My brain's doing that thing
right?
Where you type
there's an infinite amount of odd numbers.
But you can't quantify infinite.
In quantum realm, you could.
You see what I'm saying? You're saying there's more infinite. Of both even and odds than there are of just odds, right? Because you would
correct.
Be counting more numbers, I guess, in a period of time. But I guess my argument is that you are trying to quantify infinite, which is a dumb goal because you can't. It's infinite.
No, I know, but there's still bigger infinities.
Yeah, I feel like that's almost like a terminology loophole it is anything else. And I fucking hate Neil deGrasse Tyson, so don't bring him up because I think he's such a piece of shit. But
hey, man, come on. Don't
he's
be
just
mad at
so
him.
So into being
he's so
right.
smug, isn't he?
Yeah, he's so
he's
fucking
so
smug.
Smug.
I hate it.
The amount of times on it, and I know I do it sometimes, guys. Yeah. I'm trying to get better, and at least I own up to it. Mm-hmm. The amount of times I see him on a podcast interrupting people.
Oh yeah,
to like,
for sure.
Wait, let me see my point. And then he just doesn't let them say
it. You ever watching Joe Rogan? There was a clip of Joe Rogan where Joe was trying to say something and Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking. And then Joe tries again and Neil just interrupts him and Joe just goes, oh, and rolls his eyes.
Oh, yeah. The man loves to hear himself talk. It's crazy. But I can't even remember where we were as far as this infinite stuff.
Who cares? Back
yeah.
to Ant-Man.
Yeah, fuck it. Okay. I guess just the world and the plot in general, the only thing really left to go over.
Yeah.
This quantum realm shit, I swear, has ruined Ant-Man. I think if they never even touched this whole subject, the movies would be so much better.
Yeah, I'd be okay with last of the quantum stuff. But they're probably going to end up using it for this whole multiversal war they're leading
I guess.
To.
But
they're
there's too many
to,
realms now. There's alternate realms. There's quantum realms. There's
mirror,
timelines.
Mirror
there's
realm,
mirror, dimension.
Mirror dimensions.
Yeah, there's dimensions, realms, realities, time. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. What the fuck are all these things? And they're all happening at the same time. And they're all ending at the same, you know, like every year, four of them are ending.
Look.
You know what I mean? It's like the stakes are getting way too high. Let's go back to Ant-Man 1 where it's like, hey, let's break into a building. You know what I mean?
I get bigger and smaller.
I wrap my head around that. But like when you're talking about ending every universe in existence, I just don't care. I can't conceptualize
when people try to say like, oh, how do you go bigger? You don't necessarily have to.
No.
Example, you had Avengers 1 and then you had Winter Soldier, one of the most like contained Well, I say that, but the threat was killing millions of people if those helicarriers got off the ground. Yeah. But it felt contained.
Right.
And it was, you know, so it's like, it was a very grounded story for the most part. Mm. And it's one of the best. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
even Civil War. Dude, Civil War, while, yeah, the oh my God, what's his name? The bad guy in Civil War?
Oh, fuck.
Somebody help me.
Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo. When Baron Zemo, like, yeah, he blew up a building to get the Avengers' attention to make
right.
it seem like it was someone else. But his goal was just for them to destroy each other. It wasn't world domination.
No.
And Civil
no.
War might be the best Marvel movie that exists.
Yeah,
it's the best. Like,
and the ramifications felt big because of what it had to do for the people we care about.
It's all about what we care about.
Yeah.
Now, that's why I say you can do the multiverse in a good way, but you have to establish the people. Okay, if you have, all the universes are going to be destroyed, or most of them, let's say. As long as the people that are fighting to save them that are in those universes, actually, we care about. Now, you have to have people from different universes because it has to still make sense to the story. It's like, if you're going to kill every universe, why do we only have people from one universe trying to save it?
Right.
But if you take in Tobey Maguire from his universe, Andrew Garfield from his, Wolverine from the X-Men universe, like, if you know what I mean? Like, those are universes we care about.
Right.
So if you have them come in and fight, it makes sense and we actually care about their universes because those characters are from universes we care about.
Right.
But they're getting too crazy. I agree. Like, it's just calm down. The quantum realm, in my opinion, should have stayed an ethereal realm that's not really somewhere people can live. It's just a realm that you kind of float around in that can change time, like they did it in Endgame.
Come from?
Right. Why is it a livable realm?
Why is the quantum realm now Star Wars?
Yeah.
Where there's like basically a cantina scene and all these weird aliens hanging out, speaking all different languages. And like, what are these freedom fighters, I guess is what they call themselves? Where like one of them is dressed like a barbarian, the other one's like a robot with a glass head, another one's goo, and you know, another one's
and
just
the
guy
one,
who can
like,
read minds.
Drinking.
Like, who are these people?
And we're supposed to care about them because the robot guy dies?
I don't care.
Yeah,
he was his whole character was torturing people earlier.
Very
like, why would I care about that
story,
guy?
Very two-dimensional. Like, it exists. So,
but who are they? How did they get there? Why is their technology so weird and different? Like, some people are living in living houses and other are flying around in spaceships. It's like, it's so bland sci-fi, just like blended all together.
There are
and
no
this
rules.
Weird. There's, I have no concept of what the place is. I mean, is it all one big like planet that they're on? Or is it like, are things like different? I don't even know, you know what I mean? Like, I have no idea what it's like.
It's anything they wanted to have
yeah.
to make any
it's
anything
just
happen that they wanted
sci-fi
to happen.
Sci-fi vomit on the screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just it doesn't make any sense to me and I just completely tuned out any I don't care.
Yeah, it's a little sensory overload.
Yeah,
that's
nothing
how I felt.
Means anything. And it's also very different from the other iterations that they talked about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
I'm
there
trying
was
to
never
think of an example of like a world that like we don't really know what's going on, but it still makes sense. And the first thing that immediately popped in my head is the movie Mad Max Fury Road. We don't really know why it's kind of apocalyptic. We don't really know exactly what happened and everything that's going on, but it's such a contained story.
You haven't seen the other Mad Maxes.
No,
if you see like the first one.
You do. We do know it's
but
a
I
nuclear
feel like
apocalypse
Mad Max,
in
well,
Australia.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right.
But like Mad Max Fury Road is kind of a soft reboot. Is it not?
Sure, but I always understood that it still was within the same, like, it was just
canon, maybe,
future from the original Mel
Gibson. So maybe I'm wrong,
stuff.
Maybe I'm just dumb. But let's pretend Mad Max Fury Road is the only movie, because to me it was, because
sure.
I knew the other ones existed.
Yeah.
My point is, it was contained enough that, like, I still understood what was going on, and even though I don't know the rules of the entire world.
Why don't you just use Avatar?
It makes
the culture of
well,
Avatar.
Here's
the
problem
the
with these.
I'm
things.
Just saying. I'm giving you an example. The
yeah,
first
yeah,
thing
yeah,
popped into
okay,
my head
okay,
where
okay,
it's
okay.
like, this is sci-fi, and we like, I know what's happening, and I know that someone's not just going to come in and fly around like Superman because that won't make sense to the world. They would throw me off.
Right.
But they don't do that.
So
they establish rules very quickly,
yeah.
and they even yeah, it just makes sense.
Avatar, Star Wars, Mad Max, they're all sci-fi worlds, but they resemble close enough to real life things that we can identify and kind of understand how the rules work to an extent and
yeah.
not everything. The quantum realm, when you really start to think about it, is so foreign that I don't know anything about it. It's a universe so small that it exists between atoms, and it's But like, where are you when you're there? What are you actually on?
What are you
and
standing
also,
on?
How
yeah.
are you breathing air? If you're smaller than Adam, what is there really small air there? Is there really small water? Is there really small food? I mean, like, what is all this shit? What
sound
am
like
I
Neil deGrasse
on?
Tyson, like,
they,
bro. You know, right.
Yeah, I don't understand
right.
anything
they should
about
have to keep
this.
Their helmets on the entire time.
Exactly.
Oh, also, yeah. also, they went through this whole process when they went through the quantum realm to time travel in.
They needed
in
special
Indian.
Suits.
They needed suits. Yeah. Now you don't need suits.
No, you just...
That's why you needed the Ant-Man suit, because if you didn't have the Ant-Man suit...
Michael Douglas is wearing a shirt and pants,
die.
Man.
And this guy dresses like broccoli.
It doesn't make sense.
It's just... And you know what? I mean,
the quantum realm should be so small that like you shouldn't be able
all
to breathe.
All this stuff feels like nitpicky and stupid, right, to even bring up. But the reason it matters is because it's just indicative of how fucking lazy they've gotten. They don't think that we care and like that no one's paying attention and that they could just put in goofy lights and make a couple jokes and have some people punch each other and we're just going to buy tickets to go watch it. And I think we should hold them to a higher standard. That's why any of this is important if you're thinking that we're just nitpicky assholes. Like it is important to be like, hey, we want good shit that makes sense. It's not asking a lot. You guys have a budget of $300 million. Maybe spend more than 14 writing the damn thing.
Okay. And let me say this. I don't mean this as a personal attack. I really don't. Because if you enjoy movies, at the end of the day, and maybe the three of us have very different opinions of this, which yeah. is why partially yeah. this podcast works so well.
That's why I apparently think it's a good movie. I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
I get a hate boner hating movies. So
right. So like for me, movies are primarily subjective. Yes. Yes, you can look at them objectively. Obviously, we do. But primarily, as long as you... are invested in this world and it makes you feel a certain way and you can fully buy in, good for you. I want you to be able to enjoy movies. I think as long as people are enjoying movies, they will stay around, regardless of whether they're actually good or not objectively. Is it important they're good objectively? I think so, mm-hmm. but I think primarily subjective. So I'm not trying to, like, you know, personal attack here, but I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the people that are loving all these new Marvel movies are just kind of lying to themselves, because to show me a Marvel fan
I can see
that thinks that this Ant-Man movie is as good as what we were getting with Winter Soldier, Civil War, the Guardians of the Galaxy, like yeah. the first one,
Iron Man
and everything
1,
that
Avengers sur- 1,
like
all
those
shit.
Around that time.
Yeah.
Show me a fan that can actually say and believe it, because I think they're lying to themselves when they say this is just as good, even though their reactions might show that they think
yeah,
it is.
Or they're just...
I don't buy it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just being a little bit of an asshole here. But again, I don't mean it as a personal attack. I just feel like...
there's a nice blend I think you can get where you can have good blockbuster fun mixed with an element that actually feels artistic and meaningful.
100%.
Right? And I want them to blend those two objects when they make these movies. And we have just gone so far into the blockbuster roller coastery bullshit. And honestly, the MCU, when it comes to that kind of stuff, isn't even the best at it. Like, I would rather go see probably the newest Fast and Furious movie if I want just a dumb blockbuster movie than any of these Marvel movies. Because I think they're better at them. Better at that specific thing. Of yeah. making a meaningless, dog shit, but a lot of fun,
yeah.
goofy-ass For action sure. movie. I want to go Fast and Furious. They're better at it. So,
oh, if that's what the scale is, yeah.
yeah.
I want that.
So,
I'm
but
still
if they're
holding on the
that
hope that
way,
when I watch Marvel, yeah. I want it to yeah. be actually
right.
good.
I want yeah. it to be that blend
because
that I was
we
talking
know,
about.
Because they did it for like 10 years.
It's yeah. more than just throwing a lot of money at something. It's right. And that's what the thing that drove us to
yeah,
because
they
these
did
things.
It for 10 years. Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
like, yes, it's so
saga.
Cool to see like them put in the effort to get all these things coming together, which does cost money. Mm-hmm. But the idea of doing that.
Yeah.
It's not just them throwing money to make the craziest thing possible. It's more of them coming up with the creative ideas that make these stories meaningful, that makes these stories make sense, that make these stories go, holy shit, I cannot believe that just happened.
Right.
That's just my justification for what Nate was saying yeah. when he said, this seems nitpicky because they think people don't care, but we do, and it is important. He's trying to clarify that it is important. My justification for that is, even though people are saying they really enjoy this, please show me someone that can say this is just as good as before. Because even if you say it, I still think you're lying to yourself. And come on this podcast, please. Yeah. If you actually think that, I want to have an actual conversation with you about it. Because I think deep down, people know that the little stuff is important.
Peyton Reed,
I think
if you're
you
listening.
Do enjoy the other stuff more than the newer stuff. If you are a Marvel fan yeah. from back in the day, it's hard for me to believe
Man,
otherwise.
It's weird saying that. Marvel fan from back in the day.
back from the Infinity Saga. But I don't know.
Wow.
Do we need to talk more about this?
I think we've hit all our, no. I mean, there's
you know what we didn't do
more.
On this movie?
What?
We haven't talked about a single really good thing besides the few moments of Kang. So before we go, if there's anything good you can pull out of this.
You guys go first. I gotta think.
Oh, you're making me do that?
Well,
oh,
you goodness. Said you like this.
I do
movie.
Like it.
Yeah. I do
I,
like it.
I don't,
we talked for an
I don't
hour
have
and a half
a,
about the stuff we did
I
like.
Really don't have an issue with anything Scott Lang in this. Let me think about it a little bit more.
I don't either, but everyone else in the movie does, so that's what drives
I don't,
me crazy.
I think he's the same character, not as far as like not an undeveloped character. I mean more he's the same person who you've come to know and care about with through all these adventures, quote unquote, he's gone through. All the characters seem to make me want to say, "Hey, just take a hike. I want to see what Scott Lang's doing in this movie."
Yeah,
you know. And everything from him, I love the way it was delivered. The way Paul Rudd is still consistent with his acting as this person is great. It's the one like thing tying me to the ground with this film.
Yeah, Scott Lang probably is the best part of this movie.
Of course.
But man.
It's just so hard to enjoy that because all the other characters are treating him like shit the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say what I do like about this movie that I was afraid they were going to do at the end was have basically Scott Lang come to Cassie and be like, hey, you're right. Like, I wasn't. He didn't do that. He never apologized and never said he was wrong. And she kind of just came around, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah, they just kind of loosely...
They
kind of...
They loosely tied... They didn't
really
addressed
the issue that they were having.
No,
quote unquote.
But I do like that he never, like, yeah. crumpled and he was like, ah, you're right, I haven't done anything when he has. You know right. what I mean? So that was good. I really hate to say it, but I think my... Because I like to re-rate at the end.
Down.
If
oh,
it changes,
I knew your score was
it's
go
probably
down.
A two now.
Yeah.
Just because I agree. Something about this I didn't hate. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't
right?
know why. But when I sit and really
it's
think about
offensive
it,
there's in some way, but it's terrible. It's bad.
Mine might be a 4 or 5, but it's just I'm just hyped for it. They keep hyping me up for other things, and I hate it because it's like, gotcha, bitch.
You are stuck in the Marvel
because
loop.
I know I'm stuck in the
it's
loop.
It's a forever loop of cool. I'm going to keep Kang getting excited about stuff, but when the stuff actually gets here, it's just getting me excited for future stuff because the stuff that's actually here isn't good. I'm not actually enjoying what's here now. I'm just forever getting excited for the future. It's just forever consumerism down the Marvel line.
The Kang... The Council of Kings, though, at the end, that teaser was really cheesy. And
super cheesy. Why is he dressed like a fucking pharaoh?
It didn't make me really
and the voices
excited
he's doing
them.
Are bad. The one that he's doing like a bad Forrest Whitaker impression, he's like, we have to get the Kangs. Or like he's doing that wispy bullshit, and I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? It just sounds awful.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'm trying to think of one.
Black Penta.
We would now strip the blood.
Or like
the powers.
You guys remember him in Rogue One? He did that. He was like, he did it super bad. Where he was like, his whole voice was like this.
I think he
like
was really
the whole
high.
Time. Yeah, it's like high and raspy at the same time.
No. I'm saying I think he was high.
Oh, I don't know. Why
I actually
not?
Love his voice in the Black Panther. Like it's funny to like try to do just cool. because like I can't do it very well, but I love it. It was like we would now strip the power. It's great. It's so good. I love. He's great in that movie.
Yeah, it feels racially charged when you do it.
Anyway, I'll take mine like a 0.5 because all the things
Dan,
y'all
you're
said,
only giving it a 0.5, not even.
No,
a
no, I'm taking it back a 0.5. I was saying I was like 4, maybe a 4. Or I was saying I was at 5, maybe a 5.5, but I'll take it down to a 4.
You're basically at the average critic score.
Yeah,
you are a Rotten Tomatoes critic now, which you've despised the most. You are.
We all end up becoming the thing.
Mac, I can
most.
Already tell that the since starting this podcast, you have gotten more critical on movies.
No, I thank you for that.
I'm not.
I thank you for that.
And that's why I have to warn people when they say they want to be on the podcast more. It's like.
Best thing about this movie was only 2 hours long. It wasn't that long. Oh my
God. I wasn't hating it that long.
I do think I hate this movie if it was like what I feel is average MCU length now, which is like 230. I feel like most shit that comes out now is like 230 plus.
Long doesn't mean good.
No.
Ask my
Absolutely
wife.
Absolutely not.
It's all about the girth.
John didn't get here because of length. That's all I'm saying.
That boy had to leap out of that thing, dude. He had to make distance.
Anyway.
All right, that's a good note to end on.
Well, that's a bummer. Guardians of the Galaxy was good, though. So If you want to see something good that's come out recently.
Yeah, I'll wait for it on Disney Plus.
See, that's the thing is, like, I'm glad I waited for this to be on Disney Plus, and I'm glad I didn't wait for Guardians.
Eh. I'll wait.
Do.
I think Guardians has already made more money than this movie made.
Not surprised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Well, it was fun. It was.
Wow.
It was good to be back. That was the movie, brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
So thanks for coming, guys. Next week, I think we will have Into the Spider-Verse. Oh, I'm sorry, Across the Spider-Verse.
Wow.
For you guys. Hopefully we'll be talking about a super awesome superhero movie. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I do have high expectations for that one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
First one was great.
Sony knows how to make their animated spider stuff, apparently.
Evidently. They're one for one.
Yep.
See if they can go two for two.
Yep. All right. Well, until then, goodbye. Goodbye forever.
See you.
I need give us a rating on Apple Podcasts.
For real.
And by give us a rating,
we don't
we
try
mean
to promote
five
this.
Stars only.
We do
just
not
want anything
listen.
Less than
we do
five
not
stars.
Promote this at all.